his word today. Turn to Psalm 78. The book of Psalms. And we're going to look at Psalm 78 today, a portion of it. And I want us to read a short portion within this psalm. And I want you to start reading with me at verse 35. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 35. And I'm going to be reading from the King James Version today. And I'll explain why here in a little bit. Psalm 78, beginning to read at verse 35, it says this. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did not flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. It says, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouths, and they lied to him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he from his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and comes not again. How oft did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. Let's read verse 41 one more time. It says, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. The New King James Version in verse 41 says this, yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Other versions would say they provoked the Holy One of Israel. I want to speak with you today just for a little bit about limiting God. Limiting God. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would help me to speak your word. I pray that, Lord, as your word is spoken, it would become powerful. That you would give life to your word, that it would be able to penetrate between the joints and the marrow, the thoughts and the very intents of the heart. And I pray that most of all, you would make your word known to all of us, Lord, me included. I pray that you would have your way today through the preaching of your word. We ask that you would anoint your word, you take away distractions, and that, Lord, you would speak to all of us in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Psalm 78 is really a very powerful psalm. If you get the chance later on, I'd encourage you to read through the whole of that psalm. But in this psalm, the psalmist, who is not King David, it's actually the sons of Asaph in this particular one. The psalmist in this particular psalm begins to rehearse in the ears many different things that God had done in the lives of the Israelites. Asaph had begun to repeat over and over again through this psalm, as I said earlier, if you take the time to read. He rehearses all the many and mighty things that God had done for Israel. He reminds them of the Exodus when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. He reminds them of the wilderness wandering and the many miracles that took place. He reminds them of the great and mighty plagues that affected the Egyptians, which ultimately gave them their release. He reminds them of the many things that God had done. But sadly, as you read through this psalm, there will be points that will jump out, that will begin to speak concerning how God is heartbroken with his people. We read in verse 41, it says that they had limited the Holy One of Israel. And when you think about that statement, you can begin to wonder, how can you limit the unlimited? How can you limit a person that is omnipotent, that means all-powerful? And yet the scripture declares here that they provoked God because they didn't believe in what God had done, nor did they remember it. And there are times that God will allow you and me to go through situations in our life, and He'll allow us to go through them so that He can show Himself strong on your behalf. He wants you, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your trial, to remember that God is Almighty God and He can move in the midst of your circumstance. He wants to show Himself strong on your behalf. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward Him. The Scripture says, eye has not seen nor ear heard the things that God has set in store for those that love Him. We don't even know the blessings, the major things that God wants to do in our lives as individuals, or even in our lives as family members, but He wants us to know that He is on the move and He's working on our behalf. But there will be times in the midst of our trials that we will be tempted, just like the Israelites were, to believe the lie that God is not with us, to believe that God can't change this circumstance. But I'm here to tell you that God can move in your circumstance. God can move in your life. It may seem impossible. It might seem like there's no way. But God is Almighty God. But He doesn't want you nor me to limit Him. As I was reading through the psalm, I circled in my Bible many different portions, but I want you to see some of these. In verses 9 through 11, if you don't mind looking there, it says, "The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle." God would have been their defender. God would have fought on their behalf, but they turned back. "And they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law." And verse 11 says, "They forgot His works and His wonders that He showed them." They're about to go into battle, but in the midst of it, they cowered. They turned back because they were afraid God is not with us. But God is telling them, "Look, I am for you. I've got your back." But they didn't believe. They forgot. They forgot His works and all the wonders that He had showed them. Look at verse 21. It says, "Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because," verse 22, "they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation." Look at verse 32, it says, "For all this they sinned still and believed not for His wondrous works." Look at verse 41, "They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One." Verse 42, "They remembered not His hand." Verse 56, "Yet they tempted and provoked the Most High God and kept not His testimonies, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked Him to anger with their high places and moved Him to jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, He was wroth and greatly abhorred Israel." What are you trying to tell us, Pastor? The psalmist in this psalm, before all of these statements that we just read, rehearsed in the ears of the Israelites the mighty miracles that He had done for them. He began to remind them of how God delivered them from bondage, how God had made water to come out of rocks, how God had fed them with angels' food, how God had healed and delivered them, how God even caused them to walk through on dry ground with the Red Sea, or even when they crossed the River Jordan on dry ground. He reminded them of these things, but then immediately, it would seem, the people would forget all the mighty things that God had done. And I'm here to tell you, we don't need to be a people that will limit God through our unbelief. We must be a people that know our God. In the book of Daniel, it says, "Those that know their God will be strong and do exploits." Our world today needs to see a people that know who their God is, so that God can begin to work miracles and powerful testimonies in our midst. God is not just the God of the Bible alone. He is real and active in our world today. God is a supernatural, healing, working God. And He is able to do the miraculous in our day, 2018. He's not limited just to the words and the Scripture. He wants to show Himself strong in your and my life. He wants to show Himself strong in this church and in the heart of any person that will seek to know Him. You see, the children of Israel, of all people on the face of the earth, were a people that experienced God in all of His power. They had seen God's miracles, but sadly, even in the midst of God's direct revelation, like we read in the book of Exodus, the people themselves never came into, now not everyone, but a lot of them never came into a personal relationship with Almighty God. People like Joshua did. There was a time when the presence of God was so strong, the Holy Spirit came down when they were seeking the face of God in the tabernacle. And the Bible says that when they left, the Holy Spirit was upon Joshua. Strongly so that he didn't want to leave the presence of God. He had come into a relationship with God. He knew his God. There was a time when the Holy Spirit came upon other individuals and they told Moses, look, the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And he says, oh, that the Holy Spirit would come upon all of you just like he just came upon them. But you see, it's your and my responsibility. It's your and my individual will that will begin to say, God, I want to know you. Your pastor isn't going to get you and force you to know God. I can't do that. Force will never make someone to know anyone. But there needs to come a mutual desire between you and God. I know God's desire is for you, but He waits for you to desire Him. Amen. The Bible says that God is for us. The Bible says that God can do all things. He can do everything. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. I mean, the Scripture shows us completely that God is for us. But the Bible says if we draw near to God, He'll draw near to us. Your will is the strongest thing that you have. God will never force your will. Did you hear that? God created human beings with the capacity to make decisions either for right or wrong, for yes or no, for God or against God. And He will never force your will. God didn't make us automatons or robots to automatically just exist and do everything God wanted. If that was the case, then all of us would just be living and doing things, but there would be no relationship. There would be no true love. There is nothing a matter of free, as much as a part of free will than love is. I choose to love my wife, and she chooses to love me. It's mutual. Amen? And our relationship has grown, like I said earlier, this coming summer, July 11th, we'll be married 20 years. I still remember the day when God brought us together on February the 23rd, a year before then. February the 23rd, sometimes I consider our true anniversary because God brought us together on that day. And that's a story all by itself. I said, Lord, I want my wife to love you more than me. And God gave me Adelina. And on February the 23rd, that's next Friday, or this coming Friday, it'll be 21 years that we have literally been together for little breaks here and there. We're everywhere together, and I like that. Praise the Lord. Love is mutual. There is no love if I was to get her and say, you better love me, woman. It's not love. It's forced. It is not love. True love is a matter of free will. Do you all understand that? In the same way, God will never force your free will to serve Him. He never will. And so the scripture says here in verse 41, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And I asked you earlier, how can we limit Almighty God? And I'm here to tell you that your human will can limit God. David Wilkerson wrote this when he spoke about limiting the Holy One of Israel. And this is what he said, and I wanted to share it with you as he defined what limiting the Holy One of Israel means. The word for limited, I want you to hear me with your good ear. The word for limited here comes from two root words meaning grieving God by scratching out an imprint. Grieving God by scratching out an imprint. What does that mean? In short, he said, limiting God means drawing a line or making a circle and stating, God is here and he goes no further. This describes the thinking of many believers, he said. We've marked our minds a very small imprint or concept of Christ's magnitude. Sometimes we can limit God because of our own unbelief. We don't believe God can move in this situation, but I'm here to tell you He can. Sometimes we can limit God because we believe He's only this big. When God is Almighty God, there's nothing that is impossible for Him. But we limit Him with our lack of faith. We sometimes think, God, you can move in their life, but you can't move in mine like theirs. God, I'm not holy enough. God, I wasn't raised in church like they were. God, they just had it better than I do. And we limit Him. But I'm here to tell you that God wants to move in your situation and He wants to move on your behalf in a way that only God, Almighty God, can. He's big enough. He's strong enough. He's able to meet that financial need. He's able to meet that material need, that physical need, that family need. He is able to meet it, but you must put your eyes and fix them upon Almighty God. Don't limit Him by what has happened in the past. Don't limit Him by maybe what someone else has gone through. You get your eyes fixed upon Him. And you begin to pray over the Word, and you begin to understand that God has moved in the past. And don't grieve Him by saying, yeah, well, He moved that way then, but where is He now? No, we've got to know that God is moving right now. He understands what you're going through, just like the Word was spoken today by tongues and interpretation. He knows your situation. You don't have to explain all the details to God. Love Him. Begin to thank God for the answer in advance. Begin to know that He's working on behalf and give Him thanks for what He's doing, even though you don't see the answer in the horizon or in the distance. Don't worry about it. God is on the move. But you keep on holding on to His strong and mighty hand. Don't let go. You keep your eyes fixed upon Him and not the circumstances. You keep them fixed upon Him. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't let the circumstances trouble you. He's got it all under control. Don't limit Him with your unbelief. The scripture says that first of all, they begin to forget His mighty deeds. Don't forget them. God is going to work a miracle that you can remember. He wants to work miracles in your life in such a way that you can begin to share those with your children and your family members and say, God has shown Himself strong on my behalf. Amen? He wants to work a testimony in your life. Let Him. Amen? He wants to work these things into your life. Don't limit the Holy One of Israel. He's unlimited. So don't forget all that He's done. Remember them. Remember what he's brought you through. Remember how far you've come. Amen. But then on the other hand, don't disbelieve either. Believe God. Believe him. Take him at his word. Hold the word up to him and say, Lord, you said in your word, you said you'd be with me. You said that you're going to save my family members. You said you're going to move on my behalf. Hold God to his word. He's not a man that he should lie. If he said it, he's going to do it. And so we must believe God and not limit him by our unbelief. God wants to move in every one of our lives in this room. There is not a one in this room that is too far gone that God can't intervene and reach. You keep on praying for your loved ones. You keep on praying for your family members. You keep on praying for your old friends, old classmates, those that you met and that person pops into your mind and you're like, wow, I wonder what happened to that individual. Say a prayer for them. And believe God for their salvation. Amen. But God wants to move in every one of our situations. I don't know where you stand, but God does. I can't do anything. I can't. I'm a man. I'm limited. I can't be everywhere at once. But God is everywhere. He dwells within your heart. He's there at work with you. He's there when you're at home. He's there when you're on the internet. He's there when you're watching television. He's there when you're at work, working hard, driving. Boy, he's there. And there's not a friend that sticks closer than a brother like Jesus. You see, one scripture in Proverbs 3 that we know very well, it says, acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your paths. We must get into our minds and into our understanding that he is literally with us everywhere we are going. And you can spend time with him no matter where you are. I mean, I remember when I first got saved, and with this I'll close. I still had long hair halfway down my back. I still was a lot thinner than I am now. And I was working at a particular place in Alamosa. It was called Full Moon Fashions. They made hair pieces for women. And I remember I was running a press, and they would cut the leather and everything, and they would do whatever, make it work. And I ran this press. But as I was there, and I'd be running this press at work, I would be talking to Jesus the whole time I was at work. Boom, that thing would be stamping out these leather pieces, and boom, it'd be running, and I'd be there just worshiping the Lord. Because he was with me at work. I'd go, they'd move me from one station to another one to work and put jewels on the hair pieces, and I'd be sitting there working with rubber bands or whatever it was. I'd be standing there, and there was some co-workers, and I couldn't help but tell them about my Jesus. Because I was so in love, I couldn't help it. And so I'd be saying, oh, you know what the Bible says? It says this, and did you know that God, and did you know, and all of a sudden this lady, this one girl turned around and said, she goes, wow, James, you should be a pastor. I was like, okay. But I was just so happy to talk about Jesus. I would literally sit there all day just spending time alone with Jesus. In work. At work. Have you ever had the chance to read Brother Lawrence's... It's a little booklet called Practicing the Presence of God. You can get it for free on the internet. Public domain. Brother Lawrence... Practicing the Presence of God. This man wanted to have an intimate relationship with his God. He wanted to know him, and he began to practice the presence of God. And he was a dishwasher. Yeah, a dishwasher. And as he was washing dishes, he began to practice the presence of God and knew God was with him there as he was washing his dishes. And God was making himself known to him as... This man was making himself known to God. You see, it works both ways. It's not just one-sided. Amen? God doesn't just want us to know him. He wants you to let him know you. And as he practiced the presence of God, acknowledging God in all of his ways, that intimate relationship began to grow. And the more that you know your God, and you begin to know God in his mighty acts and in his powerful deeds, you're going to begin to see God move in powerful ways We can limit God by the littleness of our faith. Your God is not small and puny and will just give you little answers. Your God is big and powerful and can give you big answers. You have big needs? Give those big needs to God. Amen? God wants to meet every one of you where you are. But He wants you, and He waits for you to call out to Him. He'll never force that. Never. I know I keep saying it, but it's true. But if you will humbly seek the face of your God, no matter where you are, where you're going, He will make Himself known to you. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you call out to God and you say, "God, reveal Yourself to me, make Yourself known to me, I need You right now," and you're sincere, He will make Himself known to you. I'm not talking about someone that's in the world saying, "Oh God, You just got to reveal Yourself right now and then I'll finally believe," when in reality they have no intention of believing. So then, you know, that's foolishness. No, but you're really in need and you really call out to God and say, "God, make Yourself known," He will make Himself known to you. But God knows the heart, amen? And He wants to meet you. Amen? Let's stand this morning.